Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from the year 2002 and before. And we're here today with Baylor.
Yeah.
Angus.
Hello.
Lisa.
You idiot.
Jeanette.
Hi.
And Alex.
Hey.
And we're watching Ren and Stimpy. So that was your choice, wasn't it, Baylor?
Yeah.
And what episodes do you pick?
Apparently they're the best episodes.
So the worst.
Oh, what episodes? Yeah, unless you know the show, I'm trying to think.
I do know the show because Justin and Jeanette asked last night, like, what episodes should we get? So I was like, best episodes of Ren and Stimpy. These are tapping into the keyboard, by the way, because I Googled it. Anyway.
So there's Black Hole.
Yeah, it was Black Hole and Ren's Invention, yeah. And I remember going through the list and going, oh, I remember all of these. Yeah, yeah, okay, these look good. Yeah, let's do these two. But those two are supposed to be stitched together into the one episode kind of thing.
Oh,
they aren't
actually
two separate ones. They're just two stories in the one episode.
So a lot of cartoons and stuff back in the day used to basically do, the double features.
That's it, yeah. And a lot of them were, like that, weren't they? Where you'd have the two 10-minute, 15-minute episodes. And it made the half-hour show. Yeah.
So what is Ren and Stimpy?
Man, you could try and define it if you want.
Oh.
Please try, please.
It is...
Otherwise, I have to.
Okay, basically, it is an incredibly hilarious... Some fools will think it's an intelligently animated TV show. No, because they'll be like, oh, there's all this sexual innuendo that you don't realise is sexual innuendo when you're, like, a teenager. But when you get to, like, I don't know, above that age bracket, you're like, oh, that's not right. Like, there's an episode where Ren and Stimpy are sawing a bit of wood together, and it indeed does not look like they're sawing a bit of wood together when you see it in sort of when you're watching it. Because when I was watching it, I'm like, that's a weird way to saw wood. And then I watched it recently, and I'm like, oh my God, how did I miss that?
He had the saw strapped around his waist.
Oh!
And the other one was holding the bit of wood
on their back like
objects.
Beyonce.
Yeah.
It was an interesting watch. I was shocked that I watched that and just didn't see the hilarity in it. But yeah, so there's that sort of thing. There is some clever animation in it as well. So like there's a salesman who goes around and the way his suit is animated is quite trippy and fun to watch. And I feel like trippy is definitely a big word that I'd use in Ren and Stimpy because when he moves, the pattern is static.
Oh, yeah. That's
so, like, they don't try and make the pattern move to his arm motions or anything. He's literally just, like, moving around and they've clearly just put this...
Like, they've cut it out.
...killed pattern behind it. Yeah. And it's hilarious to watch. But they've got Mr. Horse, who they constantly do interviews with randomly that throw you off. There's...
fake ads as well. I still remember there was one, like, Tello Man, and it was like they just deep fried everything and it was
There's Burnt Toast Man as well, which those ads were hilarious. There's Log.
It's a meme, isn't it?
Yeah. It's better than bad, it's wood.
Yes.
It's a great one. They've got some, like, terrible songs in it. There's a couple of things that are sort of, like, iconically Ren and Stimpy. So Log and Burnt Toast Man and there was...
Happy Happy Joy Joy.
Happy Happy Joy Joy was the other one, yeah. They're kind of like... probably 30-second bits that happen and they're terribly hilarious. But yeah.
I used to always remember they'd have the characters doing stuff and they'd all be very active and then they'd show like these extreme close-ups of their faces and stuff and it was like all of the pimples and
have
the wrinkles
you ever
and the
watched SpongeBob.
Yes.
They do the exact same thing in SpongeBob. They do the exact same thing in a couple of kids' TV shows and I think it's derived from Ren and Stimpy and the way they just kind of like zoom in on random things and you're like, oh, that's a bit more detail than I was,
I was hoping for.
So Kenzie's been really getting into SpongeBob. I think that's one that she's probably going to have to bring to the party. Memes that come off of SpongeBob is the amount of times that like we'll do something and she'll go... several hours later.
Well, SpongeBob's just like a very toned down version of Ren and Stimpy. As far as I'm concerned, like I vibe with SpongeBob. Actually, personally, Squidward. But like, my goodness, it definitely is just a toned down kid version of this terrible show. And it is a terrible show.
So is there anyone who's not watched Ren and Stimpy?
Yes, yeah, I was going to ask that question. Yeah, yeah. But firstly, who are Ren and Stimpy?
I mean, once again, you're trying to define something yeah. that's just fluid. So Ren is kind of like, I guess Lisa summed it all up in her entry hello there, which was, you idiot.
Yeah.
He's like aggressive and high, like hostile energy. And Stimpy is just high energy. It's almost like two people with alternate mental issues living together. They're not dating or anything, but
slightly odd couple, but they are non-erotic.
Yeah, but they are just so bad for each other. Yeah.
Mm. And because once, what, Ren's a chihuahua?
Yeah, Ren's a chihuahua and Stimpy's a cat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. I had to look up the name because I was getting confused, but Ren sounds like, is it Peter Lorre from the old 1940s?
Oh, does he? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's basically like
you
a
go on that this tangent.
They keep, yeah. I think he's what...
They keep on riffing on these people's voices. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. It's a certain voice that it's been kind of, you know...
1940s yeah. Hollywood, yeah.
And
yeah.
Am I wrong? Is it Billy West that does the voice of both Ren and Stimpy from Futurama?
I don't
Justin's
know.
Got the wiki page
open. I've got the wiki page yes. open. I've never...
How did you not... This is like you guys' shit.
Voiced by...
Billy West.
By John Crickfalusi in 1 to 2 and Billy West in 3 to 5.
Ah, yes.
Oh, okay.
Who's the voice of Fry?
Yeah.
From
Futurama.
Ah,
yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. So he did the voice of both of them. And I think that John, I think he was the creator, wasn't he?
Yes, I think so, yeah. Produced, so yeah.
He was the creator and the original producer. And then I think Nickelodeon ousted him.
Yes. Uh-huh. Apparently they were problematic.
Problematic
yeah,
person.
There were issues with the individual, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he was
who
quite...
could have possibly forecast that?
Yeah. And I think he was quite... pedantic as well, but pedantic in ways that you just assume would be, you know, like he wanted a specific quality which they weren't getting with there because, you know, obviously they were trying to keep the cost down, so then stuff was getting shipped off to offshore and brought back and it's not brought back at the quality and blah, blah, blah. And then I think there was a lot of other problematic stuff going on, so I think the third and fourth season they ousted him. And Nickelodeon just took it on, and then Billy West did the voice.
I think there's a documentary on the whole thing. It goes for about an hour. That's called Happy, Happy, Joy, Joy.
It was reading about that documentary that I learnt about some of the problematic stuff that was going on. So
I actually wanted to ask you, just quickly backtracking, Futurama, it came up, and it is actually relevant to a couple of episodes ago. They're rebooting it.
Yes.
How do you feel?
You know
especially
what?
With the fact that they're not bringing back Bender.
They are not bringing back Bender, which is a concern. Yeah,
yeah.
The voice of Bender. It was... I think it's
Jed Imagine.
Yeah. He's saying it's not a money thing, it's a self-respect thing about the money. Like, they needed to have been paid more than what they're being offered to reboot it.
Yeah.
It seems to me that this is not an issue between him and the production company because he's doing Disenchanted, so which is part of that Matt Groening family anyway. So I think it's just they've asked him to come back, but the price wasn't right.
And there's a whole heap of voice actors that have been asked and have said, no, that's not happening.
Mm. Yeah, I saw a bit of that today on social media, but I didn't look into it that closely. Yeah. Mm. But yeah.
Also finished it off in such a nice way that they shouldn't jump back.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
The thing. Yeah.
They ended it perfectly. And we were saying last time that each time it'd get axed, they'd reboot it, they'd, you know, it never lost its brilliance. And I think I'm scared that this might be the one.
Yeah.
I feel like it will. That's the thing.
And like you said, they ended it so perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Angus, have you seen Ren and Stimpy before?
No.
No.
I've not seen it before.
I've seen there's only clips. Three of us that have seen it. It's great.
I've seen like one or two clips that just appear on the internet randomly, and I think I was kind of off to the side as you were watching the top 10 things you didn't notice about Ren and Stimpy with the log being cut in half and stuff, and I just kind of heard Baywell reacting over my shoulder. I looked over and I'm like, what the hell are you watching?
So I'm suspicious you've watched it, Lisa.
So Ren and Stimpy came out when I was a kid. So what's the date era that we're talking about? So early
90s. 91 to 95. Yeah.
I was about 11 when it came out, and it was huge in Australia when it came out, obviously. And it was one of those shows, and to me, when I was that age, it was like, every year a different show would come out and everyone would go, oh, won't somebody think of the children?
Yeah.
This show is so, it's the worst thing. Children shouldn't watch it. You should be, you know, and I remember being round at my parents' friend's house and there was a group of us, and it must have been on like an afternoon or something, and we're watching it and we are cracking up laughing. And my dad came in and we said, oh, this is this show, this is this Ren and Stimpy. And, like, you know, obviously they're mindful of the fact that they'd said, oh, like, this is not appropriate for children. And so Dad's just stood there and he's watched about 5 minutes of it. And then he is just cracked up laughing so hard. He is hyperventilating. Oh, he's just about on all fours. Like, yeah, he's actually, just, like, yeah, dying.
Yes.
And, yeah, and he's just like, oh, my God, this is brilliant. And then so there was never an issue with us watching it. So, but I remember introducing my dad to shows like South Park in the same way. And went, look, seriously, you got to sit down and watch this.
I remember being like 8 years old, so probably 10 years after you were watching it. And like we would stay up until after 9 o'clock and Ren and Stimpy would be on and Dad and I would just be watching it. It would be on the same run as like Samurai Jack and a couple of other like Cartoon Network shows.
Yeah.
It was an amazing run of shows, but Ren and Stimpy was always my favourite.
And I think I'm at that stage where I think I'd said, like, because Mackenzie couldn't come today, and I was like, oh, we're going to do Ren and Stimpy because it's not kid-friendly. Yeah. It's tween-friendly, but she's probably a good few years old.
Yeah, she's a bit young.
Yeah.
And there was that part of me that it was like,
I mean, mentally, I think she's there, but she shouldn't be.
I really wanted to introduce her to this, but I know that would not reflect well on me as a parent.
I don't think it's that it wouldn't reflect
well. We would all be judging.
I would be worried that Mackenzie would see things and go, what's that supposed to be? And then you've got to go and
explain it. Yes, yeah. So, Jeanette, have you seen Ren and Stimpy before?
I've seen the belly button episode.
You've seen the belly button? That's the only one I've watched too.
They talk about their belly buttons a lot. So,
yeah.
Oh, no, this is the one where they explore their belly button.
They explore their belly button.
Amazing.
It's a cool one.
It is the navel episode.
I think it was the most talked about at the time.
Yes, yeah.
But when Ren and Stimpy came out, it was very new for animation to be made for adults.
Yes.
It's still viewed as...
It wasn't really made for adults, though. Yeah. Originally it wasn't, yeah.
They, late teens adults.
Yeah, it was teens,
it was
yeah.
Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon.
Kids
yeah.
Well, Mick was supposed to do every sort of age bracket. I don't know what time it was on for you back in the day on Nickelodeon.
Oh, we didn't have Foxtel to watch it. I think it used to be on Channel 10 or something like that.
Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network used to have run times for everything. So Nick would have run times. And Cartoon Network was basically the same thing until Nick became young kids and Cartoon Network became tweens and above.
Because there's certain shows on. Like, I remember Johnny Bravo.
Yes, that was on that late night run with Samurai Jack and stuff.
And that's not appropriate for kids, but, but it was on Cartoon Network.
Alex, have you watched...
No, I'm slightly too young to watch it when it first aired. And I watched, like, say, Rocko's Modern Life took a lot of cues from Ren and Stimpy. In terms of like some of the adult humour, some of the crudity, some of the... Were there any satirical elements in Ren and Stimpy at all?
Yeah.
So this is... It's like, I'm familiar enough with the series that came after it.
Yeah.
Like, especially Rocko's Modern Life and a couple of others that I can't think of right now because I don't want to. so, like, I'm familiar enough with the ones that came in its shadow, but not necessarily the original Ren and Stimpy itself. Mm. I was probably familiar enough with its reputation slightly. I was probably a bit too young at the time to grok what it was about, but in terms of, oh, it was a crude animation.
What was that word? Grok?
Yeah, I was kind of, that was a $2 word there. I love that.
Yeah, so, like I said, I watched the ones inspired by it, and the ones that came after it that were more drilling on its crudity. So I watched South Park when it started airing. I didn't watch much of Family Guy because I had taste.
Fine.
This could well fit into that category
as well. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, so I know its reputation, but I've not seen it. I've probably seen a couple of scenes from it, like ones that have been shown on YouTube and scenes like that.
There's a lot of, like, references and stuff to it.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think about Rocko's Modern Life. That's a really good point. That one followed. It got rebooted recently. It's fantastic. If you haven't watched it, give it a go. It's, like, just a little movie and it touches on a lot of social, political things, and they do it in such a nice way. And I feel like Ren and Stimpy, if they were to be rebooted, would do it as well.
There was a reboot and it was just entirely sexually crude. It was just basically...
Yeah, they only ran three episodes.
Three episodes. It was basically just an excuse to do sex jokes. And it was a bit tasteless.
That's really disappointing.
Yeah.
And it was on Spike TV and it was the original creator, but it didn't work out.
It's basically, let's do a reboot because we can. Let's do it crude because we can. Like, crude without the taste, without the soul behind it.
That sounds like someone's got, well, even the animators gone, this is exactly what this show is, without actually realizing that the show was never really that.
Yeah, because also the way you do crudity is you have it be like just on the edge of crudity, and as if you're doing it crude first and foremost, then it just ends up being trash. Whereas if you do it as innuendo, that sort of thing, then it ends up being fun, because you have to basically have it be funny.
The other thing is like, touches so many different things that you don't realize until you actually sit back and analyze it in your head later. It touches on all these different political things as well. Like, clearly one of them was same-sex relationships, because they touched on that in one of their crude episodes that made it look like it was a joke, but it looked normal. So it was attempting in a very roundabout kind of way to normalize certain things of like, this is a funny bit, but it's not going, we should hate this, we should laugh at this. It's just, it's a funny bit. And I think that Ren and Stimpy did really good. But if they relaunched it that way, I'm really disappointed.
And there's so many shows that reboot and they just don't
get it.
One show that has been rebooted recently that I feel like really hit the mark was Animaniacs.
I've not seen the new episodes yet.
Yeah, and it's hard because the show was so good back in the day, but it's so dated and the references were so dated that you can only really enjoy the little clips and not the whole thing in its entirety. So they've taken it and rebooted it and modernised it, but it's still got everything it had back then. And they even say that straight up in the beginning. First episode, they're like, we have to appeal to a new generation that's so much different to the previous generation, but we still need to keep the mums and dads happy that used to watch it. You know, it's really conscious of that. And I think Mackenzie's watched it, just that new first season reboot. She's watched it at least 4 or 5 times. She binge watches the hell out of it.
And there are some writers so that get it and some writers that just don't. And they clearly understood the assignment.
100%.
So,
Justin, try. Trying to maintain order.
No, there is no order. Dark humour, sexual innuendo, adult humour, violence and shock value. We're going to watch Ren and Stimpy and we'll see what people think.
Okay, cool.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So did anybody actually enjoy that?
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know whether it doesn't hold up. I think it's, I grew up.
I can see that.
See, like, 10-12-year-old me would have still loved that. But I'm just, like, watching and going, I remember finding this funny, and I just don't, it's just not happening for me.
Actually, I thought the depiction of mania was really good.
Yeah.
But I think I would view that as something that you would have as part of a crazy background while you're doing other things.
Not something you'd sit and just
Not that something you just sit and directly, dedicatedly watch.
I think that was something that Ren and Stimpy used to do really well. It was like Ren's descent into madness with every episode, where he would just slowly go insane and Stimpy would just be really happy and optimistic and just like... What's the matter, Ren? You idiot!
Which is something also sending him mad,
Yeah.
What do you think, Alex?
I don't. Yeah, that was... I'm not sure it's particularly easy to describe what just happened. It's inventive. I'm not particularly sure whether it ages simply well, because it feels like it was so different to anything that was at the time, obviously. And it feels different enough to what you would do today that I'm not sure it works. It's just slightly out there. It was just odd. Yeah, it also felt like even though the plot progressed, it didn't. We're going to do this thing now, okay.
And I think in 30 years, the envelope's been pushed so far in many different directions as well. It's not like that was always so out there and so crazy. And these days, that's probably not.
There's probably stuff you could get away with by just doing it on a TikTok. That would be more surreal, is probably the wrong word. But I've seen weirder stuff from people just doing it on their phones. But it's more just the fact that the way they told the story is slightly off.
It reminded me a lot of like Mighty Boosh and stuff like
that. Oh, yes.
Yes.
I mean, they just have stuff happen and then stuff will continue to happen.
Yeah.
And then stuff will continue to happen. And
it doesn't necessarily
in terms of the plot, it isn't necessarily against the plot. It's just we are now observing this occurrence.
Yeah,
that's it. There was no beginning, middle, or end. It just was.
Yeah. It existed.
And it didn't slow to explain itself at any point in time. It just continued marching along to the drum of its own beat. Which we now know is Happy Happy Joy Joy.
One of the things I noticed, and we talked about it in the episode, was you could definitely see the homage to old school animation. Like those old... Is it Tex Avery... Hanna-Barbera, we could see some Jetsons in there.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Old Star Trek and...
But yeah, how many different shows were they paying homage to in those episodes? And how many different shows have then paid homage to that? Like, you were listing them off, Baylor. There was the Fairly Odd Parents.
Fairly Odd Parents, there was Clone High, there was definitely SpongeBob vibes.
Yes.
I feel like I've seen other things that I can't even think of anymore that pay homage to Ren and Stimpy and a lot of the earlier stuff as well.
It was kind of viewed as one of the original, I'm going to be kind with the word greats, but it definitely...
Yes, it was.
Baylor, what do you think?
I loved
it. You love it? Yeah.
I thought it was great. I know you do. It was really, really good just to see sort of links to current media and old media in the one thing. And I mean, it has a special place in my heart just because of like sitting down at like 11 o'clock at night with my dad and watching this. He never liked it anywhere near as much as I did, but I've got a very odd sense of humor, I think. I laugh at death all the time.
The episodes are only 10 minutes long. You'd be going through a ton of them.
They're not episodes. Like I said, they're just stories, and they do two stories in the one sitting.
There was a story there?
Well, there were two different things happening. I mean, I would have thought you were the smartest person in the room, but now I'm questioning it.
No, I don't think
I'm senility.
I liked it. It definitely doesn't hold up, for sure, but...
I think it holds up for what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just this expression of mania and building mania throughout each of the episodes that is infectious.
And
it would certainly tilt the mood.
I think my other favorite thing of the entire thing is, I don't think anybody noticed, but the music in the background, it was all public forum music. So there was the Nutcracker that is free to use. There was
classical songs.
They used Claire de Lune at one point.
Yeah, it does also feel the vibes like they do in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The same style of nice, calming music behind this ridiculousness.
Well, this is interesting because that's something that Avatar The Last Airbender and Avatar Korra both use, right? In Avatar The Last Airbender, the music was quite fast-paced and snappy in certain moments, but the show itself was very calm. And then in Avatar Korra, the music was really slow and mellow generally, and the show itself was quite snappy and fast-paced.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and that's very much what happens in Ren and Stimpy, is that the difference in music is also the difference in what's happening in the actual imagery that you're watching. They use slower music in faster scenes, not to detract from the situation that you're seeing, because it already is a sensory overload. And they basically do it the opposite way in slow scenes. There's always that, like, slightly snappier kind of music.
Is it also like an ironic counterpoint where the dull scenes have lively music to point out, yes, this scene is dull and it's sarcastic almost?
Yeah.
I kind of saw it as, you know, there was that frenetic music and there wasn't anything happening. To me, it was showing that there was all of this stuff going on in the head. He was going crazy in his mind, but what we could see on the outside was just relaxed.
I heard that they just never repeated a frame, so it was done quite differently than animation during the rest of the 80s.
And I think maybe that was one of those hills of contention that John Kay had with
Nickelodeon. Yeah, and that would have cost extra to do that. That would have been quite expensive.
There was like a 2-second scene during the forging of the invention kind of cutscene.
There were a couple of reused scenes. I don't know how much I trust that unless they redrew out the exact same scene, because there's one bit where they have a rolling background and it rolls back past the exact same thing. There are a couple of stills that were definitely reused. As to whether they redrew another one would be a total waste of their time just from an animator's point of view.
And
I just think of an anime series which did 8 episodes. Is it the same plot each episode but they're different animations each time? It's almost as a joke, but
The other thing is their body, I guess, construct. I mean, basically, these characters, they twist and they turn and they come apart all the time.
Yeah.
There's no way you're doing this in 3D.
Well, okay, so...
3D animation.
It's a really interesting thought process because Disney is always a fantastic example of animation because they do certain things, and one of the big things is squash and stretch. So when you jump, they animate it that, like... as you jump up, the body of the person jumping squashes. So like a ball, if you were to squash it, as they jump up, they compress the body a little bit and then they stretch as they go down, sort of thing. So they add a little bit of extra movement to make it look more realistic and natural flowing. And so they created the 9 animating Disney principles, basically. Most animators, if not every animator, knows them off by heart. Ren and Stimpy follow those and push them further than anything else.
Clearly.
Ren and Stimpy, I think, is a perfect example of how far you can push it and still get away with these basics. It is quite interesting from an animation side of view of how they did everything.
Yeah. And you could kind of see that as well in the first episode of The Black Hole when they're being sucked into the black hole.
They stretch out and
then they compress before they just kind of
they
jump
rock it on in.
I thought they were hearkening to the science then, because you do stretch out as you go.
Yeah, the spaghettification.
But yes, then they stopped before they, you know, going, what's going on there? But anyway.
It was kind of the jump in.
But they definitely play around with a lot of very interesting elements. And I think
that enhances the mania.
It does.
So, you know, the top of his head coming off as he laughs manically, you know, things like that.
The constant body changing and stuff as well is cool.
So it makes it kind of psychedelic.
Couple of things they really missed out on in these episodes, which is a bit heartbreaking, were like the close-ups of random body parts.
I missed that too. They really didn't touch on that as much as I remembered.
No.
And I thought maybe, was that me? Like, because I remember them doing it all the time.
Well, there were like more grotesque episodes that had that. But I mean, I don't think it was actually that much of a normal thing. Like, Claire de Lune played so often in like their really sad moments. But there's only one episode that it actually plays. But it stands out to me as something that is constantly playing throughout their TV shows.
It makes such a big impression.
But it's just when they lose their house. Right. It's when they become homeless. Okay. And that is the only time that it actually is played. It's so weird how people remember things, like standout things. Yeah,
it's how our memories work. We latch on to particular things that really... affect us.
Slight segue, but same thought process. In Avatar The Last Airbender, the Cabbage Man only shows up in like 3 episodes.
Yeah.
But people remember that guy and swear that he's in every episode.
Yeah.
It's just because he shows up in like those very prominent moments and you're like, hey, it's that
My cabbages!
Thing. Yeah, yeah. And then he shows up once in Avatar Korra and that's it. But he's a static thing that is there, and so you know that that's part of the world.
Yeah.
I feel like your mind just adds him in going, oh, well, if they're there, clearly Cabbage Man's nearby somewhere.
I was thinking Avatar first aired in 2005, so we need to watch it in 3 years' time.
I am waiting for that.
Yes.
So what age are we waiting for Mackenzie here for her to watch this?
Originally, when you first said Ren and Stimpy, I was like, and even those
And you said 12,
today,
you said 12-year-old you would really enjoy this.
And I think she could have watched those today. They would have been fine.
Because I was thinking, like, I've seen some...
She's watched worse, believe me.
So I think I remember a few clips from other shows and ended up being far more gross than this. And I was almost scared we were going to do one of those just because it would have been so cringy to watch it.
They're not super over the top.
No.
But
today's standards, she's not quite sure what's going on with stuff, so it's a hard light at the moment. I don't know whether you are ready for this.
That's interesting because my sister and I, we were brought up, my mum hid nothing from us, was basically, this is the go, this is what sex is, you know now, we're going to keep telling you so that you have a positive association with it, I think.
It's seen as a shameful
thing.
Exactly. So we talked about all sorts of things regarding it. And so when we started watching, I think the first movie I ever watched on DVD was Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet.
A lot
of violence and a lot of sex in it and stuff. And so, like, it wasn't as confronting. The second one was Rocky Horror Picture Show, by the way. So
Just in contrast, my sister's son, he's watching a show called Happy Tree Friends.
I was going to say that. Well, you compare Happy Tree Friends. Ren and Stimpy to
and Happy Tree Friends.
Yes.
Happy Tree Friends, they're doing things like carving up eyeballs.
Yeah. And,
you know, all sorts of, you know, chopping off arms. Yeah, it's all stitching them back together. It's just a big, horrible mess. And I'm watching that and going, cringing, going, oh my God.
It's cute extreme little Happy Tree Friends, and it's really cutesy animation, but it is so horrifically violent. That
Violent. Yeah. It's like Itchy and Scratchy, but now Itchy and Scratchy are mainstream cartoons. Yeah, so
it's interesting. I remember that coming out and going, "Oh, I'm going to check this out," because it was marketed like the next Ren and Stimpy, and
it's just pure violence. There's no actual real storyline. Yeah, it's just pure
and cruel, and it's just single-minded.
Itchy and Scratchy, what butts and some watches?
Yes.
But it is 100% like Itchy and Scratchy.
But with less plot, and it's basically just
And Itchy and Scratchy never had a lot of plot either, did it? It was just meant to be mama's violence. And then imitating life animation came out that was pure violence.
But they definitely touched on this in like Monsters Inc. The monsters would knock on doors and try and scare the kids, and the kids would be like, "Oh, cool, you're a monster." And the fact that kids have changed so much, and the visual cues and intakes, just the stuff that they are like getting from media at the moment is so different. Is so different to what it was. Like if you look at old horror movies and stuff, like I can't do horror, but I actually love those. I think they're so funny because they're like, "Oh no, there's bodies all open and on the table," and you're like, "That is a cabbage painted red." That is horrifying. Ooh, scary.
And it's interesting because then you've got the other side of it. So, like, the violence becomes desensitized. Then yesterday, as you can see, I've got my nails painted. We had a girly day yesterday because the poor girl wasn't able to leave the house. And while she was in her toy room, I put on the last half of a chick flick. It had Reese Witherspoon in it. That's all you need to know. And so then she came in just at the end. And so she's watching it, whatever. And I said, "Oh, I missed that bit. I'll rewind it." She's like, "Don't, I'll start crying again." And it was just because it was like a romantic moment, and he was sad and she was sad, and the music was swelling. And,
yes.
And that's it. She just starts crying because it's like she's desensitized, you know, to some things, but then those other things.
Yeah. That's not quite a really weird juxtaposition. Yeah. She's fine probably with like murder. Love is an issue. I'm scared for her.
But she's going, "Oh, but if you watch this again, wouldn't you cry too?" And I'm going, because I'm not really into chick flicks, so I'm like, I'm kind of a bit immune to that. I don't really cry in that situation. Yeah. And she's just like going, "Oh, but, you know," and I think she doesn't understand the way that movies trick us into feeling emotions.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
And it's the swelling of the music.
They
and
play
the, and
emotions
the
like a piano.
Of you looking heartbroken and her not understanding. And
now's the time to laugh. Now's the time to cry. Now's the time to be afraid. Now's the time to be in shock.
Twilight, and that'll probably help her heavily work it all out.
Yes.
Then follow it up with 50 Shades.
Well, I tried to.
Jeanette, are you going to watch the show again?
No.
What about you, Alex?
Not enough friends.
To me. What about you, Alex?
I'm curious as to what the rest of it is, simply because it seems like it's made at the right point in time.
So you're Ren and Stimpy curious.
I think it's more, if it was made any later, it probably would be forced to be different. If it was made any early, it would be censored to heck because you couldn't do that back in the 80s. And if it came any later, it would have to actually probably be forced to do something it is not trying to do. It's just trying to be odd for the sake of being... Not for the sake of being odd, but it's...
A lot of the times it is, I think.
Yeah, it's just later on, the kind of comedies... Especially the dot comedies starting to get... Especially when you get into when Family Guy and South Park came onto the scene, you were getting a bit more... satirical in scare quotes, where it's more just they were being assholes politically, and it has to be kind of has to have digs politically or social commentary, that sort of stuff, in order to be adult, in order to be crude. Whereas this is just basically, apart from the bizarre aspects of the body horror of their bodies switching in weird spots, there isn't anything like that at all. So as a result, it was allowed to be. Look at this weird stuff that's happening on screen.
Without all that.
Yeah, without all the extra
sort of
baggage
like
that comes from.
It's a refreshing take on just an animated TV show that's got nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. Like, because the stuff that came out later, it either has to be satirical or pop culture references and that sort of stuff. And that's kind of almost painting adult animation to a corner.
Yeah.
Where, like.
Adult Western animation, though, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at Asian animation or even French animation. They don't.
They don't go there.
They don't go there. They just tell stories, beautiful stories.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think back to those teen years, and I feel like there really was a gap in the animated envelope pushing shows. You had your Ren and Stimpy, and then you did really have nothing for a few years, and then you had South Park come along.
Yeah, and there wasn't really anything.
And even you had Ren and Stimpy, and then it jumped into Clone High. I think happened before South Park or around that time.
And see, I didn't even know about Clone High. Yeah, until you were telling me.
Clone High is my terrible pick when we get to that time.
Right? Because I thought it was much later than that.
Daria was probably the animated one.
Beavis and Butthead also was another one. Beavis and Butthead. Yeah.
Angus, are you going to watch this again?
I'll be honest, I didn't mind it.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah. It was silly. It was
okay. You're just saying that for Baylor's game.
I mean,
he got a hug.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Mighty Boosh. It was crazy and daft. There was another show. I can't even remember what the other show was after Mighty Boosh. It was just even weirder and even more random and made no sense whatsoever. And that was brilliant.
I'm trying to think what was on after Mighty Boosh, because I was watching when that aired at the time. I'm trying to think what it could have been.
It was another British one, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was by Noel Fielding.
Could be anything with that man.
Yeah.
It really could have been. But that was ridiculous.
Mighty Boosh next time. Well, not next time, but...
I didn't like it as much as everyone told me I should.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I understand the kind of humour had in it. It would divide.
And I feel like the first season didn't do as much for me as the later ones. Like,
I never was, like, super obsessed with it. I watched... Because my mates were like, you need to watch this. I watched, like, the first episode or two, and I'm like... this isn't that great. And then I saw a couple of episodes from like series 5, 6. And I
only had three seasons.
Three seasons?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Must have been like season 3 then.
Yeah.
Okay, I've really got an idea. I watched, I think it was must have been the old Greg episode or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the old Greg's a classic one, yeah.
And that was just brilliant. And there was a couple of others around that point in time. There was, I think we watched 3 or 4.
A couple that were really good, and I think the old Greg one and the one where they're on the deserted tropical island.
Oh, yeah, with coconuts. The coconuts, yeah. Right.
And then that song, I still get... randomly people will post the Eel song on on my Facebook page.
Make
a little entrance when they can. Eels, 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 eels.
And Bella's looking completely aghast.
It sounds like an earlier version of Flight of the Conchords, admittedly.
100%.
Yeah.
They always have songs in their episodes. So yeah, I think of a green cockney man singing about eels while playing badly on the piano.
It's no different to a New Zealand man playing a song about cannibalism.
I think Flight of the Conchords is, I feel like it's a better show.
Oh, I haven't seen Mighty Boosh or anything, but I mean, Flight of the Conchords.
Mighty Boosh is 04, so it's only a couple of years away.
Yeah.
If we were to do a bonus episode, I've been thinking about it more and more, but there's two shows that I've been really enjoying that I enjoyed last year, and I didn't bring it up on our recap episode, and that was, I watched all of The Orville, which was the guy who did Family Guy.
Yeah, Seth MacFarlane,
It's supposed to be a like a parody of Star Trek, but it is not a parody. It's more canon than canon.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Then, the problem was I heard Seth MacFarlane stars and appears in it. I thought, no, this has to be terrible because Family Guy is terrible.
It's actually but quite good, and because he's a big fan. And then
is the Orville animated?
No, it's live action.
I thought it was a live action.
But then, funnily enough, there is an official animated comedy version called Lower Decks, and I reckon I've watched
Lower Decks. Yes,
about 5 times. It is so good, I can't stop watching it.
Yeah, that's a proper Star Trek.
It's an official Star Trek
Paramount.
It's official thing. But yeah, it's funny. It's really good. And it's really funny. And the people who write it, I'm assuming because it's official, they know their source material. They will reference episodes like original season episodes, Next Gen, Voyager, whole lot. They reference it all. They have an episode where their security guy is from that species, from that Darmok and Gelada Tanagra. So good.
I know their source material because that's what fell flat on some of the movies, is one of the writers didn't know it and so it messed up one of the TNG movies.
They will make references on that show and I will go back and Google it and it will be something from an original series episode that I've never heard of. Their references are really esoteric. Like, they are playing for the fans. Yeah. But you don't need to be a fan and you would actually really enjoy it as a really good comedy show. So yeah, that's definitely what I want to bring forward as a bonus episode.
So modern audiences, we've sort of covered that a bit because, but we can't really answer it fully because we don't have Mackenzie here. She would be the arbiter, I think.
Modern audience.
She is the modern audience. Yeah. So Angus.
What food?
What food? Yeah.
Would it be a glass of wine with whipped cream on it, or like a pizza with whipped cream, or
you have your food be something inedible, like a rock covered in glass
with whipped cream on it?
I don't know. You see, I didn't
rotten left socks with whipped cream on it.
I would watch more of it. I think I'd agree that I'd watch it probably, you know, on a side monitor or something like that while they're playing a video game or something. But I would watch more of it, I think, which makes it really difficult. Because now I need to find a food item that everyone here would quite comfortably be disgusted in, but that I quite enjoy.
So on a scale of 1 to 23.2, how does it rate?
23.2, I would actually...
Ooh, the higher teens by the sounds of it.
Yeah. It would be, mid to high teens, I'd say. About 16,
17-ish?
Out of 20. What was it, 23.2? 23.2. Yeah, I'd say about 17.
Not bad.
Which is the best age to be to watch it, probably.
And, so you watch again. What food is this?
So this is the difficult thing, because
it's probably got to break your teeth.
Oh, I really don't know.
Something involving peanut butter. Like a peanut butter and jam sandwich or something that's really
good. Not everyone likes that.
Everybody does? Oh, okay.
I don't, but I know a lot of people that do.
I think in Australia, though, it's probably a comfortable kind of...
It's a nut sundae.
Fried Fritz and sauce sandwich.
That's too classic Australian.
And also, I have to explain what Fritz is to people who aren't from South Australia.
You might have to defer that and tell us next recording.
I'll have to do a deep dive analysis.
Into that. Well, that was Ren and Stimpy.
It was a good episode.
Yeah.
Or next month.
Cat Weasel next month then?
Provided Mackenzie can move with us, it's Cat Weasel, I think.
We also need to do some
class is
getting COVID at the moment, so it's just going to be a matter of time. We'll see what happens. If Mackenzie's sick, like if she gets COVID, this could be a great time to watch Princess Bride. We'll just do it via Discord or something. It's perfect fitting. I don't want Mackenzie to get for the record. I love her very much. But, I mean, it'd be quite ironic and would play with the story quite nicely.
Yes, it would. Definitely. It would.
Okay.
I'd like her to sit down and watch Princess Bride. I think it's a great movie. And the thing that is so hard when I first tried to introduce her to Princess Bride is the bit that we used to watch over and over again when we were kids, my sister and I, we'd watch the sword fight.
Oh, yes.
And we used to love it. And we're both left-handed as well. So it's like, you know, that'd be where it's like, I am not left-handed. And then the next one where it's like, I am also not left-handed. And they change hands and it's just like, oh my God, it's such a good scene. I made her sit down and watch that. And it's like, she just did not want to watch the movie. And I'm like, if you're going to watch anything though, watch this scene. It's so good. And she was just like, not interested.
It is the best. It is the best sword fighting scene in any movie.
Good. Yeah. It's such a good movie. Yeah.
Anyway, so that was Ren and Stimpy. Goodbye.
Bye.
Later.
Bye, everybody. See ya.
Yep.
Time for us to implode.
Yes.
Nice.